welcome to More Like TV. Fargo Season 2 review. Season 2, Episode 3, The Myth of Sisyphus. Joined on tonight's show by a condensed cast, Marie Lopez is on.
Hello.
Mitch Heil.
Oh, yeah. Hello there.
Sherry Dahl.
Oh, hi.
Minnesota natives. And John Sanzari.
Good tag.
We are reviewing, I think, one of the best shows going on right now.
Oh, this is fantastic.
I can't lie about that.
I told Sherry after the show was over, like, this is the first TV show I've been able to watch in a long time where I'm not, like, on Facebook watching the show and then going back to Facebook or playing a game or some shit. Like, right. This one actually actively watching it because there's just so much shit going on.
It's true. I haven't been able to watch a movie or a show or anything with him without him playing freaking Bejeweled or Bedazzled or Candy Soda Crush.
That's like Marie when I try to watch. Marie only watched certain shows, but other shows, Pinterest.
It's not Pinterest, it's Facebook. And I need to be scrolling with my thumb at all times to make sure I'm not missing anything.
You don't want your thumb muscles to get weak.
Sometimes I just pause it and look at her.
It's not that my thumb muscles are going to be weak. In fact, I'm probably getting carpal tunnel and arthritis.
So, how did we start this this episode? What happened? What did we start with?
It started off kind of eerie. There was a dude in the forest, and he kept on flashing back to his days in grade school with the magician pulling a rabbit out of a hat, and then it flashes back to present day.
Right, that was petting a rabbit. That's the Indian guy that follows the Gerhardts around.
Yes,
what's his name?
Red Man is what they called him.
Yeah, they called him Red Man in the episode.
Racist.
He just doesn't talk much. I mean, he's not silent like other characters, but he definitely doesn't say a lot.
Yeah, so you see him with a rabbit, then he kills a rabbit, obviously. Yeah.
Hansy Dent.
So I guess they're trying to explain his deal a little bit.
It's my deal here, Wade.
Yeah, I think they're trying to explain how he's related to the Gerhardts or how he got in with them, basically, because he's an outsider. He's obviously not related to them or anything.
He's not family?
No, I thought the Indian gave it away.
You don't say.
The Gerhardts are all like Swedish people or whatever. What's that name?
Scandinavian?
Yeah.
So, so it starts with him and it pretty much stays with him at the beginning when he walks into the house and...
And he starts talking to the daughter, the blonde girl, the youngest Gerhardt, and she's all being slutty McSlutterton and going about her own business, doing whatever the fuck she wants.
Pot. You want to smoke pot. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but is that one of the daughters of Jeffrey Donovan's character?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Dodd's daughter.
Yeah.
Correct. So talking about that, because he's trying to get an in to find out where Rye is, the youngest dead Kalkin. So he figures that situation out. Then we go to the living room.
From there it was to the dining room,
right,
where it was the meeting with the other not the Gerhardt family members, but the people that are involved with the trafficking that they do.
Right.
Yeah.
The three guys.
Yeah, they had the meeting in there. And I just want to say how beautifully lit that scene was when Mama Gerhardt was sitting in her black chair with the tan, you know, sides on it. And then it was against a black door, but it's just like her face and she was wearing a red scarf, just the way that it popped out in color. Very beautifully done.
Yeah, the filming has been very good. And then you had the Mac Daddy Gerhardt sitting there with his stroke face. And he's talking to him. He's not deaf. He had a stroke. Like, you know, they're yelling.
He's like, we can butter our own bread.
Yeah. So they're basically discussing what they should do in terms of the family, whether they want to sell the...
Right, with their partners, I guess, or constituents or what have you. There was three of them.
The mom is basically pushing to not go to war, but, you know, of course, the other ones are. They say, we're not going to shoot first, but we'll be ready. To, you know, we'll cut their noses off.
Like Dodd just wants to go to war. He wants to just... like lay his dick on the table and show off his masculinity.
Yeah, that's that scene. What's the brother's name with the beard?
He's always eating. Yeah, that's what I said too.
Every scene, he's eating something.
I'm pretty sure that's on purpose.
I think later on in the episode, he's eating like fried chicken.
Yep.
Royce and I both agree we like him the most. And I don't know if it was because he was insisting that his son, the one that has the, I don't know, the disability, go to college.
It's Bear. Yeah. Is that it? Is that, no, it's not him.
Telling him to leave.
Yeah, he doesn't want him to get involved. And yeah, like, but he wants, you know, he promised his mom that he would, or yeah, his mom that, you know, that he would go to school and make something of himself.
But uncle said, I don't care what your uncle said. I'm your dad.
Yeah.
That was actually a very good scene.
That guy, he reminds me of my brother because he has a big beard and he's always eating something. He just looks like my brother, doesn't he?
If he was blonde and red, like had a red beard. Yeah.
So, you know, that whole thing was good and funny. Again, like the dark comedy in this has been fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
So then where do we go from this? We move to
the what's his face with the Kitchen Brothers, just the main, I guess the main thug. Oh. He went and met up in a diner with with Ray Romano's brother.
Yes. That scene, holy shit, the man couldn't get the shampoo out of my, is the soft water. The what? The soft water. Touch my hair. Yeah. That was fucking such a great scene. Agree? Agree on what? No, that's the brand I use.
No, yeah. No, I use Agree.
It was just fucking beautifully done. Feel my hair. Work soft water, hard water, doesn't matter.
So are we going to kill these people? Well, if the market says we kill them, we kill them. If the market says we need to pay them more, we pay them more.
Yeah, that was really good, too. Very business-oriented. I like that.
Yeah, they're not just thugs. Right. I think they were trying to establish, like, the Kansas City guys aren't just killing to kill. They're just trying to run their business.
Trying to make a profit.
And they're trying to be smart about it. I think that was a really nice way of showcasing that both the Gerhardts and the Kansas City Mafia are both smart, and they're both trying to play their hands right.
Right. So then then we move over to
Ted Danson told the owl from to go check
Salverson.
On the Gerhardts.
Officer Salverson.
Salverson.
Yeah,
thank you.
Tell him to go up to Fargo, right?
That's to
go check on the Gerhardts, and then you see him sitting in the drives up. You see him sitting in the courthouse with, because the judge that was killed, you know, they go to that same courthouse, and he's sitting next to the local state guy. The state police guy, and he's telling him, you know, did you serve? And then, you know, he says, oh, you know what FUBAR means? And he goes, yeah. And of course, that means fucked up beyond any recognition, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically telling him, you know, you really shouldn't fuck with these guys. It's a big fucking problem.
Yeah. He was trying to scare him, like, oh, you know, anything connected to the Gerhardts is good. He said, you might as well turn yourself in. Rather than deal with hunting these guys down.
Yeah, he's like,
but he's so awesome because his whole philosophy, he's almost like Ted Danson when he pulled over the Mulligan and the Kitchen people.
Yeah.
He doesn't know these people, so they're trying to be threatening and scary, and he's just not batting an eye at them. He's like, hey, I'm the law. Fuck you.
Yeah, the whole sequence of when Salverson was at the courthouse all the way coming back through and following the crime scene throughout. And I know we'll go into detail of how he goes piece by piece, but he really starts connecting things that I was very impressed that he was putting two and two together and being able to go from one storyline into another storyline so quickly. I mean, he was sitting there at the courthouse, right? And he's talking with the local police. And as he leaves, he notices a guy being squirrely. That was all he had to go off of.
Great. That was so good. You know, he's being kind of squirrely. I should let him go.
So he notices the guy being squirrely. And all he was doing was he walked up to the dead judge's door, walked back, walked up again, and then walked out. And so he and the local state police then go outside and follow him to his car, where, again, we notice him being squirrely because he's holding onto the steering wheel, not driving. And he kind of shakes and like hits his head on it. And then that just starts with an interrogation. Like, they just start asking him questions because he was acting weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, no, I just got a few past things. You know, nothing big or anything.
Right.
text things. No, nothing big. I'm not involved in anything.
And it's just a very impressive. It's very impressive that they have nothing to go off of, but then they just start asking questions and they start learning things. Like, it just being curious.
It just seems like back then, like, where they're depicting, like, even though the cops look like, oh, they have no technology, like, they use real detective skills.
Exactly. They had no warrant. They had nothing to go off of. They were literally all they were doing was going over there to chit chat, so to speak, to see if they could find anything to get the guy in trouble for. And they couldn't, but they learned a whole lot of information. They put together where his business was, what he did, that it wasn't open. Like, they got a lot of information just from him looking squirrely.
Yeah. So now, go ahead, Mitch.
I was going to say, if this was 2015, typewriter guy would have held up his phone and said, cop block, I know my rights. Mm-hmm. You can't talk to me like this.
Yeah.
Is there a problem, or am I being detained? Am I being detained? Let me go.
World star.
But they're so polite that they just over-explain themselves. They give more of their hand than they should. And now these two cops that are investigating a crime scene, that this guy doesn't know that they're the ones investigating the crime connected through all this. He just gave them a whole bunch of information.
So, yeah. And the other thing I'm picking up when you find out later is, I think that judge that this guy killed was the only one that wasn't in the Gerhardt's pocket, because she wasn't giving a shit.
I think you might be right.
So then before we continue with that, then you move back over to Fat Damon, and Krista dumps.
Oh yeah, they have the split screen. Was it?
No,
screen?
Before that, the salon.
They did a split screen a couple times. They did one leading into the salon.
Right.
And
so
maybe it was the first split screen, but you saw Dumps on the left and Fat Damon on the right, and he's just sitting in his chair, like, just contemplating, what the fuck did we do? You know, everything's bothering him. And she's just doing her hair like nothing ever happened. This whole time she's been a sociopath.
And then later on, because then she goes to the lesbian that wants to, you know, like scissor with her, that she's going to do the seminar with her. And then when they're talking about that, Ted Danson comes in and talks about the murder.
Because
his daughter's in there getting a haircut.
Yeah, love the small town situation that they got put in at the hairdresser salon. Because you threw a lot of different characters that you hadn't seen them cross paths up until this point, and it's getting your hair cut is what connects so many dots together all at once. So you have Kirsten Dumps being so confident that they've already ground up their victim, and they've solved this and that, and they cleaned up the house, and she's all ready to go to the convention, even though she hasn't asked her husband because she's an asshole. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, the Salverson's wife is sitting right next to him, and she's the one that found the gun.
She's really smart, by the way.
And she's
you find that out in this scene alone, man.
Yeah.
I think what if it was a hit and run in that shoe you found?
She pieced together the whole situation because she saw a shoe, mm-hmm. and she saw the gun, and she knows the crime scene.
And then Kirsten just goes, wait, what? No, that's so fake, because then why would someone just, like, drive away? Huh? You can't do that.
Now, the thing that I think is really going to bite Kirsten Dunst in the back later on is the fact that the other hairdresser, the lesbian one that made a move on her, saw the windshield broken in a previous episode and knew that she was in an accident, and Kirsten Dunst had to cut her off short. And then in the very next scene, Kirsten's like, we have to get rid of the car. We have to cover up the car with another accident. But one person already knows that there was a prior accident.
Right. And yeah.
But they don't know if she was all the way out there by the Waffle Hut.
No, they don't know that she was there yet. But now that there's, if the other hairdresser was put on trial, she could say, oh, yeah, there was a big old hole in their windshield.
Right. And it's going to be a conflicting story, because Dumps is probably going to say a different thing than what she said before.
Right. Because she covered up her tracks twice.
Right. And I just want to go back to the cinematography again. Look, the picture that Sherry posted in the chat, where you have Ted Danson in the middle in the two mirrors, every single character in that scene is visible. All the main characters,
that's
at least,
really
whether
good.
They're in the mirrors or, you know, in the shot.
I love that.
It's amazing.
That was good. I didn't catch that. That's really good. So then we hop over from this whole thing to back to the what's-his-face's daughter and the Native American at the drug house.
Skinning a rabbit.
Yeah. No, no, after that. This is where Yeah, they're already at the apartment. Right. And
yeah, so it's the Sulverson and the local cop. They go back to the Gerhardts, right?
Yeah, but not yet.
Oh, sorry.
First, I think we go to the house where they're looking for Rye.
Yeah.
And the Native American is there with the daughter, and the guy, fucking typewriter guy, shows up. And he's like, is Rye here? I'm looking for Rye. And she's, you know, yeah, come in. Maybe have a drink with me. Maybe you watch me drink. I'll do a little dance for you. That fucking guy, when Marie pointed it out, that guy is always getting pulled around by his tie.
I'm like, stop wearing ties, dude.
Seriously.
First, some bully puts your tie in a typewriter and starts typing to threaten you. And then a fucking blonde skinny bitch just starts pulling you around.
And then I believe Rye's girl, the one that was in the apartment, made a comment about his tie, like, oh, aren't you patriotic? Yeah. It's like, leave the poor man and his ties alone. Jesus.
Oh, you know, greatest country in the world.
So
she's going to be a loose cannon, the young blonde Gerhardt daughter.
Definitely, yeah.
Because she enjoys living dangerously, kind of like her father. She and her father are kind of cut from the same mold. They're the ones that are going to get the Gerhardts in trouble, because the other bearded one that only wants to eat and send his kid to college, and the grandmother who's just like, I'm just trying to keep this family together and out of a war, they're going to be the level-headed ones, and the other ones are going to totally fuck them over.
Yeah, because they even said at the beginning, we've never been an action kind of family. You know, they're not really violent, so to speak. So then they move over. Sorry, go ahead, Mitch.
I was going to say, they even said in the beginning that they're a small-time outfit.
Right.
You know, they're not this huge, you know, they're not the Kansas City mob or anything. They're just basically a family business that owns Fargo, and that's, you know.
But they still have enough balls to hold shotguns to local and outside of state officers.
They started getting money from Prohibition and stuff, too, and that's how the whole family got it. So, yeah, then we move over to that scene, Marie. The Sulverson and the Stady show up.
Before that, isn't it...
they're trying to break the car, like get into an accident so that they can bring it into insurance.
And he did it wrong the first time. He hit the back.
Yeah, and I feel like that's going to be something that's going to fuck him up later.
Yeah, my grandfather did it all the time. He would get drunk, crash into something, wait till he sobered up, and then he would crash into something else. Insurance would cover it.
But that's the problem, is they had the original damage. Then they damaged the car because it turned around on black ice and hit the rear bumper instead of the front. And then they hit it a third time.
And Kristen dumps with like, oh, you won in a million chance. How would that have happened? I fucking hate her. She's the worst.
She's standing there like, oh, you're so nice to crash the car for me. I'm just going to stand out so I don't get hurt while you drive. Like, seriously, they're just the worst at covering their tracks. What if
I think I got that whiplash.
Like, they wouldn't question why she was okay, but he was hurt. Like, why was she standing outside the car when the car got hit from the front and from the back?
And also, like, how would they explain the gigantic hole in the windshield from that as well?
Wouldn't the easiest thing to say is I hit a deer?
Well, that's what she told the hairdresser.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah, that is one of their stories. One of their many stories is I hit a deer.
So,
but they also now hit a tree twice.
So yeah, that's another time they used split screen, which was really good. When he was going to crash into the tree, it had a picture of her, and then one side was her, one side was him. When he hit the tree, it spun out. Oh, you got it right the second time though.
And what I find kind of funny though, I mean, this is just me just like looking at details. When they panned when the car was getting towed, they panned to the rear end damage. Is it just me or did it look like it was already rusted?
The car might have been rusted.
I mean, that might have been there from before. Yeah.
It is Minnesota. I don't know how much they salted back in the 70s, but shit rusts a lot up here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So then we go to the Gerhardts' farm, right? Correct.
Yep.
With the
it's just a fucking compound.
Yeah, guns. I need your.
It basically is, man. Yeah,
I need your guns in the state. Then that's when you figure out that basically the fucking cop is in their pocket and all the judges are in their pockets.
Yeah, because he's being all nice. Here you go. Here's my gun. And
no, I'll keep my gun. It has sentimental value.
And Salverson's like, am I the only one here that knows how the law works?
Yeah.
And this is the first time you've seen the scope of the Gerhardts, you know, how many people are around there. Before, you've only seen, you know, the mom and her sons and the grandkids. But now you're outside and you see there's like 10 goons around. All of
them. Yeah, they had like sentry positions and like watchtowers.
And I really like Salverson. He did not give a fuck.
I love him. He is awesome.
He was just like, we need to talk, you know, about Rye. And he finally tells him, you know, what happened, that people were shot and all that stuff. And then Jeremy Donovan's character standing there like grilling him.
No, he was grilling Green Suit, and he goes, hey, wait, I'm the one that was saying this.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at me.
Yeah, he's like, put me on the blame game. Don't pay attention to this guy. I want to be the one.
Hey,
solving.
You
want to
dance? I'll dance with you, sweetheart.
You're dancing with the wrong girl.
Why would he kill the judges?
Yeah. Say to me.
Why did he kill the judges? All the judges are in our pocket anyway.
Yeah, I love that. Like, he gets insulted as if he called him gay. But really, Salverson called himself the female. He said, you're dancing with the wrong girl. He called himself a girl.
Right. And he never gave his gun, too, which I did like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, I'm going to hold on to this. Thanks.
You know, I don't know how it works up here, but you know where I'm from. People, when a cop asks a question, you answer him.
Yeah.
And basically tells him, you know, we're not answering anything. They leave. And it just, again, how much of a pussy the state cop is.
Dude. I mean...
And then the other Gerhard just eating chicken.
Who knows how that other cop was threatened? Who knows how long he's been dealing with the Gerhards? But it was more than apparent that he does not fuck with that family, and they have some sort of symbiotic understanding. And Salverson just comes in here. He's out of state. He doesn't understand them, and he does not give a flying fuck.
So then
I don't even think in that scene, I don't think he even blinked once. I think they planned that too. He just kept his eyes just locked on to Dodd.
So then they go from there. The next scene, I believe, is them with the Thai guy.
The state cop stops in front of the typewriter store, and then he says he wants to go look in there because the guy was squirrely. And
No, not yet.
Oh.
What Thai guy?
For the guy with the tie, the fucking the typewriter guy. Yeah. Before the typewriter store, the Native American guy's questioning. Correct? Am I doing this in the right order?
No, that's towards the.
I think because it was daytime when they were at the typewriter store.
You're right. John was right. So they go to the typewriter store. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And he notices, and the thing is, like, the state cop just basically just dropped him off because, like, I guess like the house or the HQ is just down the street. He walks up. He walks across the street. Notices that like the lock has been punched out of the door, and he walks in. And then one of the kitchen brothers was taking a dump, and he left his shotgun right by the door jamb.
That's what I was saying earlier about how good of a detective Salverson was, and how the other local guy just does not want to even deal with the situation. He's like, I don't want to do any more work for the day. I'm going. I'll just drop you off. You can figure out your own way home type of situation.
So then the black guy walks out and he tells him, how do you know I'm not the owner? Because I just talked to the owner. Another great scene with him, by the way.
Mike Milligan makes the most tense dialogues out of the cops. Like, he's very good at giving not a lot of information, but still talking.
And one of the brothers
them.
Gets the shock and goes, whoops. And he
or better yet, he goes, Mike Milligan and the Kitchen Brothers, like, oh, you make it sound like we're a punk rock group.
Yes.
And ladies and gentlemen, Mike Milligan and the Kitchen Brothers.
Yeah. Fucking great. So then the other one gets his shotgun and goes, oh, whoops again. And he basically says, you know, I like you, not because you're nice, but because you guys are mean, but you say it in such a nice way. And that pretty much describes everybody up there, huh, Mitch?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, another thing I just noticed just now.
Yeah.
Holy shit. One of the Kitchen Brothers, the one that came out of the bathroom, he had a magazine in his hand, and it said UFO on it. And that's and from the first episode, they had unidentified flying objects in one of the scenes. So
every single episode that's had a little bit of UFO stuff in it.
Yeah, that's true. They alluded to it later on, actually. But yeah, it's a good point. There's this over or underlying storyline of UFOs that's creeping up. I don't know where they're going to go with it, though. But it's just like, I can't believe so. Like, Salverson just happened to meet a squirrely guy, remembered it was the owner of the store, saw the store, walked into the store, noticed that the lock was punched out, talked to some other guys who he knew were thugs, and I think he put two and two together that it was the same guy that his father-in-law had been talking to.
Well, he saw them drive by at the when he was at the Waffle Hut.
Yeah, right. The Waffle
Hut. That's why he called Ted Danson and told him to stop the guys.
Exactly.
And then he did the whole Nixon thing. I'm not a crook, you know. and they still don't talk, by the way. The twins are not talking.
Not saying a word. But Mike Milligan just walks out with his two guys holding shotguns to Salverson. So it's the second time that he had guns pointed at him in one day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Twice. Then I believe we go to the...
Well, it was still light out, and so that's when Salverson started heading home, and he stopped at that gas station where that fat, nerdy guy started talking about UFOs.
Which, again, I'm wondering what the fuck is going on with that.
So I did a little bit.
I'm still predicting that that they're going to have a close encounter with something, and they're just going to chalk it up with, I don't know what the fuck that was, and someone's going to die over it.
What were you going to say, Mitch?
I don't know if it's going to be anything like that, but I did a little bit of research into that, and like in the 70s, there was kind of like a UFO sightings sporadically here and there. So they might be going along the timeline of that, because I know that was when like the UFO thing was getting big because of Area 51 out in Nevada.
Right.
So I think it was picking up here.
All right.
As well. I don't know what it's going to tie into this storyline, if it's just the paranoia of the time or if there's going to be an actual listening for it. I hope it's kind of just like just because of the times and not because fucking aliens are making, you know.
It just
happened.
I don't think.
Well, I feel no matter what way
it's
that they
weird to me.
I feel that no matter how they go about it, the way that they're directing and filming this, that it'll look good either way. Whether they have aliens in it or not, for whatever reason, it's going to be written and shot very well.
No, I mean, the shooting end is okay. I mean, once again, I just don't want there to be, my opinion, to be their UFO bullshit in this, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if it's as long as it's not fantasy, like keep it in the realm of what would happen at that time. Mm-hmm. And
I think
they're
doing a good job of keeping it subtle, not making it like it's not Signs, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Like that. So I think they're doing a good job with that part of it.
Yeah. I mean, once again, the show is really good. So, I really like the first season, but I believe this one's right on par with it.
Oh, yeah.
So to answer your question, Royce, after the UFO sighting and it starts getting dark as Salverson is going home, then they go back to typewriter owner.
Right.
And blonde Gerhardt and Indian guy that kills rabbits.
Right.
And we find where they took him. And it was to some sort of abandoned construction site,
correct.
Where
the dig site.
Where a grave was already pre-dug for him.
Which, that sucks.
Yeah.
A little bit before that, where Dodd talked to his daughter, like telling her to get back in the car. She's like, no, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Or this, whatever. He's like, no, get back in the fucking car. And then she's like, trying to be all,
tough,
aggressive or whatever with him. And so she pulls out a joint and he crushes that up and then he slaps her in the face and throws her in the truck.
And he smashes her foot, too.
He eats her leg.
Yeah, I don't know if that was planned or not.
That's what I was thinking. I was wondering if that was planned.
Because, I think they just went with it.
Yeah.
Because that sounded like a legit, like, ow! Like, fuck you! If it wasn't planned, it was a good scream.
Yeah.
But then I think after that, I think he talks about how he was cursed with four goddamn daughters.
Yeah.
But again, that just showcases like the girl is trying too hard to be a tough guy. And I feel like that's going to be somebody's undoing. Either she's going to end up screwing herself over and getting herself killed because she's going to overstep her bounds because it's still the 70s and women still aren't respected.
Yeah.
Or.
Oh, you're going to go anyway. You didn't ask him. You're such a naughty girl. You're such a naughty little thing.
Or
yeah, he actually went to his father, like, you want to hit me again? Is it getting you hard? And then that's when he just like throws her in the truck.
Grabbed her hair, yeah.
Yeah, that was fucking gross.
I know.
I don't want to hear a daughter saying is
could have a son and I get three daughters.
But she's either gonna get herself killed or she's gonna get one of her family members killed for sure.
Probably.
But yeah, so I mean, they put the squirrely guy in. They never touched Squirrely Typewriter Man. They told him, get in the ditch.
Yep.
Now lay down.
He actually grabbed him by the throat and choked him a little bit.
He did choke him a little bit, but then he just verbally commanded him to lie down in his own grave. And I just kept yelling. I'm like, just fucking run, dude. Why are you letting yourself get killed? At least put up a fight. You're just going to lie down and let it happen? It was so bizarre to me that he's just like, well, I guess that today is the day I'm going to die by getting covered in hot asphalt.
Was it hot asphalt, or was that just like the dust from it, like settling?
It looked like it was steaming.
It did look like it was steaming. It might have not been.
It might have. Well, they did have a steamroller off to the side there, so it could have very well been hot.
I felt like they lingered on it long enough to show that there was something rising from it, because the first thing Roy said when we were watching it was, well, that's easy to get out of. And I go, no, I think it's hot asphalt. And it killed him right away.
And do you think they rolled him over and paved over it?
I don't know, but it's a good question, because if they don't, then why is there a random ass mound of asphalt? They're going to have to investigate who dumped asphalt into a random ditch in the True. Middle of that site.
And also they showed his tie sticking out. So I wonder if that's going to be like a... What? Yeah. That was his American tie.
Okay. Oh, I missed that. Maybe that's why they were zooming in. I thought I was so focused to see if that was steaming, if it was hot asphalt or if it was ash, because it was very subtle. But then again, I'm sure it was quite cold, and I don't know. Maybe
we saw the thing sticking out of it. I'm like, what the hell is that? Like, Sherry thought it was a shoe. I didn't know what it was. It was kind of a dark scene, so it's a little hard to see. But if it's his tie, that'd be a good.
That makes more sense, because I was like, oh, it looks like his foot. Wait, no, that's coming from where his head was. I don't know what it is.
Right.
Do you think that the Gerhardts give a crap if it's discovered or not? Like, do you think that they were trying to hide it? Or were they using it as a message?
I mean, they're not. I don't think they're just going to kill people and leave them in the street, because that's not good for business. But at the same time, there's no real... I mean, I don't know what the construction site or anything like that is, but there's no evidence linking them together, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, what would there be? I mean, except for the judge.
Right. The only evidence is the judge, and then, like, if anyone knew about the money that the Thai guy owed to the Gerhardts, but I don't know. They never established any of that. So I don't know.
Yeah, so then we hop over to Salverson's house when he's getting home and saying, I had 2 guns pulled on me today.
It's a suck-ass day. How was your day, cancer wife?
Yeah, so they're discussing all that. What did they talk about? I'm trying to remember now.
Well, he first asked her how she's doing, and she's saying, oh, it's a pretty okay day today. Mm-hmm.
And then I think he mentions to the father-in-law that he had a run-in with both those people.
Yeah, he kind of talks a little bit about what happened to him.
They never really discussed a whole lot in that scene. I think they just kind of went on to cake and cribbage.
That's right. They immediately solved all of Salverson's problems with cake. And I thought it was
I think you're going to need 2 pieces of cake.
I thought it was kind of sweet in a way, and weird in a way, that even though his wife is dealing with chemotherapy, she's still making sure that she's having fresh cake for her husband for when he comes home. Like, I made sure that you have a cake for you for your hard day at work. I mean, granted, he did have a bunch of guns pulled on him, so he did earn the cake, but... I don't know. She's just a very good doting housewife for also being as sick as she is.
I just want to point out another, I don't know how Minnesotan this thing is, but cribbage, the board game that they were playing, I play cribbage, and I know a lot of people that play it. So
what is that?
I don't know if
I've never even heard
thing.
Of it.
I didn't even
what
notice it.
What the fuck
it.
Is cribbage, by the way?
It's a card game.
How does it work?
You try to count up to 15s and 31s and make runs and things like that. The goal is to get 121 points.
But then there was also like a wood cork game that was, is that included in the
that's the board.
Oh. Yep. I posted a picture in the chat. So it's a board with pegs, and it looks like red, white, and blue stripes where I guess you go up and down based off of the cards.
It's just a track. So the red track is where the red pegs go up. Blue track is where the blue pegs go up. You just go around once, and there's a hole at the end. That's where you want to get to. So you just want to count up to, you know, 5 and a jack is 15, 3 fives is 15, you get 6 points for that, you know. It's just a counting game. It's a lot of fun if you're an old person.
I was going to say, I've never heard of it. I've never seen it. I'm glad you recognized it.
Because I'm glad you acknowledged it.
I cannot like wait.
First thing I saw.
Till we see Bruce Campbell as Reagan.
Yes.
You think that's going to come up in the next episode?
I don't know. I mean, I know he's definitely in the season as him. But yeah, no, I don't know. Was that the whole episode?
Yeah,
we went through the entire episode.
Yeah, I really liked it. I mean, okay, we guess we got to do some predictions now. Any predictions? Go ahead, John, you first.
I'm sorry. No, I still think that Kirsten Dunst and Fat Damon, I still don't think they're in the clear.
They're definitely not.
They know something's probably going to match up like the damage because they found glass at the Waffle Hut.
Right.
So I feel that they're going to I don't know how it's going to tie in with this car, but they're going to match up the glass from the crime scene with the glass from their place. Also, I never really noticed them clean out the car. I mean, they did have a body in it. So if there's any hair follicles or teeth, if they didn't clean up the car properly,
I thought he did.
I think they showed the husband cleaning the car first.
That's okay. I think what they're going to do, though, is they're probably going to go to auto body shops and look for cars that have broken windows or damage, like any damage.
Right.
Gotcha.
And I think they might peg that car as being suspicious.
Okay.
Any other predictions, Mitch, while you're going?
I don't think in this next episode there's going to be any violent run-ins yet. I think it's a little too early for that. There's probably
I think there's going to be some. It seems like every episode there is. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I mean like, I guess people are dying in them. But I mean, there's not going to be any shootouts between the Gerhardts and the Kansas people yet. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the Salverson's going to get an end to any gunfights yet, but I think it's going to be more tension building, a lot more pieces put together. Oh, by the way, another thing that we didn't really mention where when Ted Danson was talking about her, or his daughter was talking about, maybe it was a hit and run, and Ted Danson starts piecing it together and then dumps it. No, that sounds silly. Why wouldn't someone just turn themselves in and blah, blah, blah? You know, it's like, right. Oh, I guess you're right. You have a good point. That solves it.
Yeah.
End of story.
He really just fucking took. Yeah, okay, you're right. That's what I think.
Also, the last thing that Dodd said to the red man, he wants him to go up to Kansas City to get Ray. So and he told him specifically to stop at nothing. If any cops stop you, take them down. Like you're gonna like just plow straight through it. So I think there probably will be some casualties next episode.
Something could probably happen there, which is going to bring in the next episode heat down on the Gundersons.
Right.
I think
Gerhardts.
My prediction is
same fucking name.
I think Salverson is piecing it together that he and Mike Milligan are looking for the same person. And so I think he's going to start tailing the Milligan guy to try to find the Gerhardt guy.
Right.
And I think he's going to start unraveling more, or at least then biting off more than he can chew, getting involved with the Kansas City guys. So he might get a little off track, but I think he's going to start following those guys to try to piece more of it together.
All right.
Yeah, I think that we're going to get, again, some more UFO shit. I think that they're leading that for some reason. Every episode there's something said about it. Hopefully Reagan soon. I would love to see that.
Yes.
I think that's pretty much it, right, guys?
Sherry, do you have any ideas?
Not really. Mitch mentioned the auto body thing. That's what I was thinking of. The only other thing I thought of, did they ever cover the finger that was left under the cupboard at the butcher shop?
Yeah, I believe he did grab it.
Yeah, he did grab it at the end.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking that the owner was going to find blood on the floor, but nothing ever came of that.
That's what I had assumed, is if they didn't just wipe up the blood right away, that you're in a butcher shop, blood is going to happen, and it eventually would have gotten cleaned up with no thought to it.
Right. Oh, okay, guys. Well, that was it, right? I mean, is there anything else?
I think there's just going to be a little bit more expansion on Brad Garrett. you know, the Kansas
do City, you,
something's going to happen there. I don't know do what. You, go ahead.
No, I'll just say, like, do you think they're going to bring up, do you think they're going to, that they're going to find the typewriter dude in the ditch in the next episode? Or are they going to do that for, like, a later episode where they come and they, like, find the,
yeah, they're
like,
definitely going to find him because, yeah, because of the tie. I know exactly.
They'll find him, but they're a little slower about piecing things together. So it might not be the very next episode. It might take an episode or two to get through connecting those dots.
Right. And remember, this is up in Fargo. This isn't down in Laverne. So it's not going to be Salverson or Ted Danson finding it. It's going to be the Fargo police where they're not connected with this at all. They don't know what the fuck's going on. Like,
right.
You know, Salverson does. So they're probably, it's going to take them a little bit longer, like you said, to piece it together.
Another thing that I'm curious about, because if you remember in the first season, they had hints, little snippets here and there from the movie. I wonder if they're going to tie any of the movie, what's the word I'm looking for, continuity with this season.
I think they will somehow. I'm not really sure exactly how, but I'm pretty sure they will. Jerry Lundegaard. All right. Well, guys, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Stay tuned next week. Same time, we'll be talking about Fargo. So far, it's been great. I can't see how it's not going to just get better. And I think that's pretty much it. All right, guys, we're out of here. We're going to go up there to Moose Lake.
Oh, yeah.
End of story.
Go to sleep, you little babe. 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 Everybody's gone in the cotton and the cold didn't leave no